Romans chapter number 8, verse number 1. We'll attempt at least to conclude this message. What I thought initially would be just one message turned out to be, I believe tonight will be the third part of the message. Verse 1, the Bible says, "There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit." Let's pray. Father, we come in Jesus' name to the throne of grace this evening. I want to thank you, Lord, for just encouraging our hearts in the meeting this morning and also the service tonight. Lord, for blessing our hearts with song. And thank you, Lord, that we are going to take a gospel trip one day. The best is yet to come for the people of God. And we thank you, Lord, for the precious protection of the blood of Jesus. And Lord, we just thank you today for being God, being good, being gracious. Lord, help us as we endeavor to look in thy precious word. And I'm keenly aware that preaching, Lord, is not physical. Lord, preaching is spiritual. Lord, preaching requires spiritual enablement and spiritual unction, spiritual power. And Lord, I know for a fact, God, that you called me to preach. There's no question about that. I've never questioned that in my heart and life, never. And I know that you've called us, and with that call comes the equipment. And we know that you equip those that you call. Faithful is he that calleth you who also will do it. Lord, that you counted us faithful, putting us in the ministry. Lord, we were put in the ministry. I didn't hunt it, didn't go after it. Lord, I didn't choose it as a career option. Lord, you put me in the ministry, and I thank you. Lord, Lord, it's been tough at times, but Lord, I here today, 29 years plus later, Lord, I still say I'm glad I'm a saved by grace and called to preach. And Lord, I'd rather preach than to eat. I'd rather preach, Lord, than anything. If I couldn't preach, I'd just soon die. And I mean that from the deep of my heart. And I pray, Lord, that you'll put that special touch on us. Lord, tonight it makes preaching powerful. Lord, preaching in the flesh, Lord, accomplishes nothing. Lord, we've come tonight needing a touch from heaven. And I pray for that mighty hand of God, Lord, to rest upon us for a few minutes this evening. Lord, we'll thank you and praise you. And may we bring attention to you. May we exalt you and magnify you. Deal with your people. Save sinners. And we'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I want to read the verse again, verse number 1, and do you well to memorize this verse of Scripture. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. We've just basically been trying to preach on this one verse of Scripture on the subject of no condemnation. No condemnation. And, of course, we pointed out at one of the meetings, one of the services, that the chapter begins with no condemnation and ends the chapter with no separation. We can rejoice in the last part of the chapter because of what's in the first part of the chapter. And I'm glad of that. Amen. God had to deal with the main issue in our life, and that's condemnation. We're condemned already because we have not believed. That's when a person's born physically. They're born a sinner, need to be saved. But I want us to look at this verse of Scripture tonight and ask God to help us to deal with it. We've been noticing and sharing with you the two parts of this this verse of Scripture, how that it's one sentence, so it's one continuous completed thought. Don't try to divide it and don't try to take one part and leave the other part off. If the first part is true, the second part is true. If the second part is not true, then the first part is not true. And a lot of people are claiming that first part. You know, I'm saved, preacher. I'm going to heaven. You know, no condemnation is what they're saying. But yet that second part of the verse, and it's made evident by the fact that the Bible says they that are in Christ walk not after the flesh. but after the Spirit. And but anyway, we've been kind of looking at it that way. The first part of the verse deals with what God sees, our record. The second part of the verse deals with what man sees, our recognition. Man can't look into heaven and see that there is no condemnation. Man can't see that. But man can see as you walk in the Spirit and not after the flesh. They can see your behavior. They can see your conduct. They can see your course of life and choices that you make. And it is important that you make those right choices of walking after the Spirit and not after the flesh, because it ultimately reflects back on the God that saved you. Amen? And so we've been dealing with that and looking at those things, how that the first part of the verse is the root of salvation. The second part of the verse is the fruit of salvation. The first part of the verse deals with what salvation cancels. But the second part of the verse deals with what salvation confirms, or the confirmation of salvation. I guess probably the best one was the one we dealt with last on the Wednesday night that we dealt with this last, is the first part of the verse reveals what it means to be in Christ. The latter part of the verse reveals what it means for Christ to be in you. I think that's probably the best one out of all of them that the Lord gave us to show the two parts of this one thought that God reveals in verse number one. And so verse number one, the first part of the verse deals with our heavenly record. Our heavenly record. And we preached about that already, and we've covered that. How that our heavenly record, and that's where my salvation is, by the way. That's where your salvation is. Amen. I mentioned this the other night that, you know, you hear the term in song that I have His blood flowing through my veins. You know, that sounds good and it makes a good song, but it's just not scripturally true. His blood is not in my veins. His blood is not even on my heart. His blood has not been applied to my heart. The blood is on the altar in heaven. The blood is on the mercy seat in heaven. My high priest is in heaven. The blood is in heaven. The Lamb's book of life is in heaven. Are you listening? And so my salvation from start to finish, my salvation is in heaven. You say, well, what's going on here? Well, here's what happened. When I got saved, God sent the earnest of my inheritance. God sent the Holy Spirit into me and does so with every believer at the very moment of salvation. God takes the Holy Spirit, puts the Holy Spirit in you to confirm you and to witness to your spirit that you are saved. I can't see the Lamb's Book of Life. I've never seen it. I've never seen the Lamb's Book of Life. I've not seen my name there, but I know it's there because of the Holy Spirit that is in me. The Bible says in Romans 8:9, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. If you don't have the Holy Spirit in you here, then you don't have it fixed up there. Amen. So the Holy Spirit is just a taste of heaven. The Holy Spirit is a guarantee of what has taken place and what will take place in heaven. So the first part of the verse deals with our heavenly record. And this verse shows us three things, and I'm just going to mention this, and I'm going to move on and deal with our second and final thought this evening. The verse number one tells us that there will be no condemnation of sin to the believer. Verse number two talks about there will be no control of sin for the believer. And then verse three tells us, well, three and four, tells us that there will be no continuance of sin for the believer. Well, if we can get those three points, we'd have it, wouldn't we? No condemnation of sin. No control of sin. That is, sin's not controlling your life anymore. And then there's no continuance of sin. Salvation delivers you from sin's fears. Salvation delivers you from sin's force. And salvation delivers you from sin's future. Praise God for that. Amen. But let's look at this second and final thought this evening. We've been preaching on that one the whole time. But not only our heavenly record, but second part is our earthly recognition. How do you recognize somebody that's saved? The Bible shows us right here. Who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Amen. And so we want to look at that. I mean, it's evident that there's two parts to that, and then we want to look at those and be done tonight. But man, as I stated, cannot see my record in heaven, but they can see my walk on earth. Amen. My walk gives witness to the work that has been done in me and is being done in me. My walk is the witness. Amen. If the walk is not there, then something's missing. Something is missing. And a lot of people around in this part of the country, well, anywhere you want to go, are claiming the first part, but the second part of this verse is not in their life. The Bible said that those that are in Christ walk not after the flesh. The word after means according to. It means according to. It means towards. They don't walk according to the flesh. They're not walking towards the flesh. Amen. And also the word after means even as or like unto. The flesh is not what characterizes a believer. Our walk is not characterized by the flesh. The flesh is no longer in control of the believer. To walk after it, to walk toward it, to walk like it, my friend, reveals that it's in control of your life. And I just want to say to myself and you as well tonight that we should avoid walking after the flesh. We should reject walking after the flesh because of this simple truth. There's not one good thing said about the flesh from Genesis to Revelations. Nothing good about the flesh said. Why would anybody want to walk after the flesh, yield to the flesh, lean on the flesh, be led by the flesh, be lorded over by the flesh, when the Bible says that the flesh profiteth me nothing? The flesh profiteth nothing. Jesus said those words. Amen. Paul said, that is within me, that is within my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. Romans 8, I believe it's verse 8, so then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. So there's nothing good said, nothing about the flesh. In fact, when you find a people, a person, a family, a nation that's walking after the flesh, you see a trail of heartache. You see a trail of regret and misery and brokenness that's in that pathway. But I can preach this till I die of old age, and there'll still be people that will not listen. There'll be young people that still will not listen. They will choose fleshly directions. They will choose fleshly delights, and their life a wreck and still wonder, well, what in the world's wrong with me, preacher? The flesh cannot satisfy you. That's why lost people are so miserable. That's why carnal believers are so miserable. There's no contentment and no satisfaction in the flesh. None. To walk after the flesh, walk toward it, walk according to it, walk as it, walk like it. The characteristics and the features of the flesh, my friend, will be in your life when you walk after it. Let me read this right here to you. I wasn't aiming to, but I believe the Lord wants me to. In Galatians chapter 5, just a few verses before it goes to dealing with the fruit of the Spirit, deals with what the Bible calls the works of the flesh. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these. Now listen. This is found in Galatians. This is found in a book written to a church. the church of Galatia, warning them about the works of the flesh. If the flesh is in control, it will be working. If the flesh is in charge, it will be working. You can't get in the flesh, live after the flesh, live for the flesh without it working. Well, if it's going to be working, what is it going to produce? What is the works of the flesh? The works of the flesh, which are manifest. And by the way, you get in the flesh, live after the flesh, for the flesh, as a believer, and the works will be manifest. You can't keep it hid. It will surface on you. The works which are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and what's this? And such like. Paul said, you'll be guilty of things that I don't have enough time to pin down. But I'll just group it all together and say, and such like. So why would a believer, and listen, the believer's identified in their earthly recognition by the fact that they do not walk after the flesh. Those things are what's going to be produced when the flesh is in charge. And by the way, I just thought I would point this out, that several of those listed are sexual sins. And I'm not going to preach on it tonight because that's not my message, but I believe this. I believe this. And I've shared my thoughts with a lot of preachers, and they believe it too, that I believe that sexual immorality will be the downfall of the local churches in our country. It's permeating all in our churches. Amen. I'm talking about all in our churches. Immorality. And that's what happens when the flesh gets in charge. You can't stay clean and be in the flesh. You can't stay pure and live after the flesh. You can't. Your flesh is not going, your flesh, by the way, is not saved. Your flesh is still corrupt and is still wicked. The word walk in this verse speaks of conduct, speaks of manner of life and behavior. The Bible says, them that which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit, speaks of your conduct, behavior, and manner of life. I want you to turn with me to Matthew chapter 9 and verse 5 and 6, 7, and 8 just for a moment, because here we find one of the first mention of the word used in Romans 8 and verse 1. To describe what it means to walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. We find the same word used in Romans chapter number 9, or excuse me, Matthew chapter 9. Matthew 9 in verse 5. Now this is the story that deals with the palsied man being made whole. And let's begin our reading in verse 5. And Matthew 9, verse number 5. Verse number 5, for whether is easier to say, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, arise and walk. Everybody see that word walk? That word walk is the same identical Greek word that is in Romans 8 and verse 1. Same word. So we have an exhibit right here. We have a display. We have a demonstration of what it means. The Bible says here that in verse 6, but that you may know, he told him, arise and walk, verse 5, but that you may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins. So what do we learn already? That the walk, the new walk, the changed walk, And by the way, this is a walk that this man could not walk before Christ changed him. This is a new walk. And this walk gives testimony that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins. So how this man here walked give reflection on the power of Christ. So when you're not living right, you're the same as telling the world Jesus is weak and powerless. When you are not walking after the Spirit but after the flesh, you are as same as verbally declaring that Jesus has not forgiven you of your sins. But that you may know that the Son of Man hath power, but that you may know, hello, but that you may know, what does that tell me? That tells me Jesus wants it known. Jesus wants it known that He has power to forgive sins, change lives. Well, how is it revealed? How is it known? How is it manifested? By the fact that that one that could not walk now is walking a walk that he did not walk before because of Jesus. When you got saved, before you got saved, you could not walk the paths of righteousness. You couldn't walk the paths of righteousness. One, you didn't want to. Mainly, you didn't want to. You wanted to walk the paths of unrighteousness. Because that's what you were and I was. But when you got saved, thank God, God forgave us of our sins. And He enables us to walk a path that formerly we couldn't walk. And that walk gives testimony to the power of Christ, to the person of Christ, to the pardon of Christ. But that you may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins. Then saith He to the sick of the palsy, arise, take up thy bed and go into thine house. And he arose and departed to his house. But when the multitude saw it, saw what? Saw the walk. So it's very visible. It's not going to be a secret thing. It's not going to be something done in the dark. It's secret. I mean, it's visible. It's manifest. It's public. But when the multitude saw it, they marveled. And what else? And glorified God, which had given such power unto men. Because at this time they were still thinking Jesus was a man. Amen. And so we find here in Matthew chapter 9 a good demonstration and a good illustration of what it means to walk not after the flesh but after the Spirit. All right, let's look at this right quickly if we could. If you'll notice here, in this second part, the earthly recognition, our earthly recognition, and God wants it known. God wants it to be a recognized thing that you are saved. One of the young men that got saved down there this week, he was in our dorm, and I had the privilege of talking to him a little bit because I wanted him to know what it meant to be saved. I wanted him to know that now that you are saved, God has given you His life and He expects that life to be lived through your life. It's not just now that I'm saved, I get to go to heaven and I'm going to continue on living my life. God expects a change. God produces a change in those that He saves. But I notice two things quickly. First of all, I notice there is a negative. Walk not. And then there's a positive, but after this, and under, the word walk is understood, but after the Spirit. So there's a negative, there's a not, walk not, and then there's a positive, walk after the Spirit. You can't have one without the other. You can't walk the after until there is the walk not. In fact, both of these are going on at the same time. God is doing the working in you, the walk not, and also the walk after at the same time. When you get saved, you do not arrive. You've not arrived. I've not arrived. None of us have arrived, but will. God is still working in our lives, a walking not and a walking after, the negative and the positive. And I want to ask you tonight, do you see that going on in your life? It doesn't matter if you've been saved 5 minutes or 5 years or 50 years or longer or whatever. It doesn't matter. Do you see that process going on in your life? Do you see that walking not or the not walking? Or the no longer walking. The walk that has ceased and is ceasing. And then on the other hand, do you see the positive? Do you see the walking after the Spirit? Are you listening? Listen to this. Walk not after the flesh deals with purity. Walk after the Spirit deals with spirituality. Do you see those two things in your life? Do you see God working purity and spirituality in your life? I'm just going to be honest with you. A lot of people that make trips to the altar seem to never display those. Now, whether they get saved or not, I'm not the judge. I don't know whether they did or didn't. But the only way I know, I can't see the heavenly record. I can't see that. I can't see the no condemnation. That's the work that God does. The only thing I got to go off of it is the walk not after the flesh. That's all I've got to go off of. That's not judging either, by the way. Matthew 7:20 says, "Wherefore by their fruits ye shall know them." It was evident there in Matthew 9 that palsied man had met the Master, thank God, because his life changed. And he began to walk a walk that he couldn't walk and didn't walk prior to that. The negative, walk not after the flesh, deals with the don'ts. The positive, walk after the Spirit, deals with the do's. God has don'ts and do's in your life. God has don'ts and do's in your life. Let's deal with them now individually for just a few minutes. I want you to get this. This is good. Lord, give me this. This is good. Notice two key words in verse 8. The word no and the word not. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus who walk not after the flesh. As I was meditating, Brother Mark, on that verse, those two words jumped off the page. You have a no and you have a not. And they are inseparable. Don't shout about the no if you don't have any knots in your life. Don't get excited about the no if there's no knots. In fact, you can't even spell not without the word no. Amen? So the no and the not in this verse are inseparable. There is a negative that is attached to my position and also to my practice. There is a no that is attached to my position, no condemnation. But there's also a not, which is a negative, that's attached to my practice. Walk not after the flesh. Well, I don't like all that negative preaching. I've had people tell me that. Well, I don't like all that negative preaching. I don't want nobody preaching to me about negative stuff. How are you going to live the Christian life without it? You can't even crank your car without a battery having a positive and a negative post. We wouldn't have power in this room tonight to give our lights if we didn't have the working together of a negative pole and a positive pole. Amen. Don't like that negative stuff. Well, Jesus said, do you like this one? There's therefore now no condemnation. You like that negative? Want to shout about that negative? We can rejoice about that negative. God had to take care of that negative. You couldn't take care of it. You couldn't have dealt with that. You couldn't remove your condemnation with good works and religion and sincerity and morality. You couldn't change that. You couldn't alter that. God had to do that. So can you shout about that first negative? I'm going to tell you what I think. I don't believe you're going to shout much about that first negative if you're not practicing that second negative. If the first one doesn't have as much an influence in your life to produce the not, if the no doesn't produce the not, I don't know if you're going to get too excited about either one of them. People get mad when you preach about separation. Why would a man do that? Why would a woman do that? Why would a boy and girl do that? A person get upset when you're preaching about separation. Separation, my friend, is for you, not against you. Separation is for you. Separation is good, is greatly illustrated. We talked about the power and the wires and all of that. With all the wires going to these lights, there's a positive and a negative wire running. But they never touch. That insulation around those wires is what separates them and allows the currents to flow where it needs to be. Separation is your insulation. Keeps you from getting grounded out and losing power. Why would I get mad over that? If I built your house and wired your house and don't ask me to, it wouldn't be good. It may or may not last overnight. But if you saw me stripping the wires, and I mean stripping all the separation off, if I could use that word off, and you know, not using no electrical tape on the connections or anything, you say, preacher, what are you doing? Well, you don't believe in separation. It's not important. You get mad at the preacher when he preaches on it, so I'm gonna build your house without it. And I promise you, you'll probably lay in the bed at night and sleep like this. Well, I've slept with that eye, now I'll sleep with this eye. Because you know it's just a matter of time till something's going to happen and your house is going to burn down. Amen? Separation is not against you. Separation is for you. Well, if you could get a hold of that. God trying to put the knots in your life, my friend, that's for you. That it helps you to enjoy the new. The knot helped you to enjoy the no. The more the knots in your life, the more the no you'll know. Amen. God's people are known by that first, by the negative. Walk not after the flesh. I believe, and there's verse on top of verses that proves that when you get saved, God changes you. Not just initially, but progressively. Are you listening? God starts and begins that good work. He changes, makes you a new creature. Old things pass away. Behold, all things become new. That is both initial and progressive. I've been saved 29 years and that's still working in my life. There's still God taking the old me out and bringing the new in. Do you see that in your life? 2 Timothy 2:19 lets us know how that you are identified as a believer. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, and having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are His. And let every man that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. God said that crowd that names the name of Christ, which is that crowd that is saved, He said they are identified by the fact that they have departed from iniquity. Now watch this. The Lord don't have to see that to know who's His. Because the Bible says in that verse that the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal. The Lord knoweth them that are His. The Lord knows who's saved. He doesn't have to wait on see what your thought life is and your actions are going to be and all of that. See if you go to church and all of that. God knows it. But it becomes you become identified on the world's level by the fact that them that names the name of Christ departs from iniquity. The Lord knows I'm saved because He sees the seal. Man knows I'm saved because he sees the chains. Or if you want to use S and S, God sees the seal, which is the Spirit of God. And man sees sanctification. Salvation that does not produce sanctification will not result in glorification. If you can't, if you're not saved enough, my friend, to change you in your mouth and saved enough to change you in your desires and your habits and your actions, my friend, and give you a heart for the things of God, then I want to tell you, I'm putting in question, are you saved enough to go to heaven? Amen. Amen. I don't know about you, but I'm about fed plumb up to here, amen, with people that claim to be saved and there's never a change in their life. Are you listening? The negative. And we could read other verses and go on about that. By the way, let me just say this to you. Did you know, and this is true, there's therefore now no condemnation of them that are in Christ. And we've dealt with it, and I don't want to go back and re-deal with it, but did you know for that condemnation to get taken care of, there had to be a death? I'm fixing to deal with something here. Are you listening? There had to be a death. For the wages of sin is death. The law requires if there's sin, the penalty and payment is death. Is that right? Did you know what the meaning of death is? If you feel your head going in the guillotine, that's probably because it is. You know what the meaning of death is in the Bible? Look it up. It means separation. You die physically only when the spirit is separated from the body. You die eternally as a sinner when you are separated eternally from God. Are you listening? Here's what I wrote down on that. Death is a separation, so therefore separation is a death. Most preachers spend, let me rephrase that. There's not too many preachers interested in separation, I'll just be honest with you. Because it attracts problems, it attracts battles. 99%, Brother Mark, of the fights and problems and opposition that I've had in the ministry has come over separational issues and pastoral authority. More so the first one. More so. So you're not getting any extra feathers in your hat when you preach on it because you're really attracting fire. And so a lot of preachers are not preaching it. A lot of preachers are not practicing it. A lot of preachers just kind of wrote that thing off. But death is a separation. And when you get saved, you're crucified with Christ. And that's a death that produces separation from your old life. Anybody that dies, my friend, listen, anybody that dies are detached from that old life. A fellow that was a murderer or a drunkard or whatever you want to attach, if that person dies, he is no longer that. He will never kill another person. He'll never drink another beer. Death produces a separation. So therefore, separation is a death. And that's why a lot of people hate it is because they don't want to die. The Bible talks about dying to self, and Paul used this phrase, I die daily. Death is a separation, friend. God, from the point of salvation on, God is working death in you to, in relation to your old life. A detachment from your old life. But yet He's working a resurrection in you for the new life. Amen. Y'all didn't get that. Soak on it. Soak on it after you've had a nap. Good night's sleep. But let me give you this right here. I've got to get with it here. Not only is there a negative, walk not after the flesh, but after the, but also then there's a positive, walk after the Spirit. Did you know it's in the right order? Did you know that the Spirit cannot work in your life, in that walk until the flesh is dealt with? There's got to be the not. There's got to be the walk not after the flesh before the Spirit of God, my friend, can be producing the positive in your life. Well, preacher, I don't understand why I don't never grow. Look at your walk. Look at the choices you're making. Look at the direction you're going in. If you don't have that walk not, if you don't have that knot there, then guess what? That's your course. And if that's your course, then you've got the Spirit of God somewhat crippled in your life and rendered incapable of working in your life. He can't work through the flesh. He can't work with the flesh. The flesh has got to be dealt with before there can be that positive walk. And by the way, walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit puts the walk as a choice. Walk not after the flesh. Walk not, and after is a choice. I choose to remove that walk not and turn it into a walk after. Oh, I just saw something, Brother Brian. If you have the walk not and the walk after, those two will always be in your life, but they can be reversed. If you walk after the flesh, then the not goes from there to the second one. Walk not after the Spirit. So the Spirit must have the flesh dealt with before He can lead, before He can guide. The only restraint to the flesh is the Spirit. These verses you need to write down and familiarize yourself with them. And that is Galatians 5, verse 16 and 17. But no condemnation in verse 1 is matched and is manifested by no carnality. Walk not after the flesh deals with carnality, deals with flesh. Amen. And watch this right here. I like this. No condemnation is what's received. Walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit is responsibility. It's responsibility. Your spirituality, I know you hadn't heard this. Your spirituality is your responsibility. The time zone, let me just mention this right here. The time zone for all of verse number 1 is described by one word. Now wait a minute now before you try to figure out which word it is. The time frame for verse all of verse 1 is described in one word. The no condemnation and the walk not after the flesh but after the Spirit's all found in one word, Brother Mark. You know what it is? Now. It's all happening at the same time. The no condemnation and the not walking after the flesh, but after the Spirit. All of that is operating in the now. Well, preacher, you wait. Praise God. Till I get to heaven? Why wait? I can enjoy the no. Oh, yeah. I can enjoy the N-O, no condemnation. I can enjoy the no right now as I deal with the nots right now. Amen. Well, amen, amen, amen. Well, amen. It is the walk more than words that identifies you as a believer. Let me give this right here and I'm done. I thought about this. Boy, this is good. Genesis 22, you find that's the chapter that deals with Isaac and the sacrifice on the mountain. Beautiful picture of what God does for a person that gets saved. There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ, who walk not after the flesh but after the Spirit. Abraham's a type of God the Father. Isaac's a type of God the Son. And that donkey is a type of the sinner. And on that donkey was the wood, which is the sin, type of sin. They come to the foot of the mountain, which is a type of Calvary. The Father takes and unloads the wood off of the donkey, which is taking the sin off of the sinner and putting the wood on Isaac, the Son. Isaac takes and bears the sin or the wood to the top of the mountain. And you know, to make a long story short, what took place up there. Sin was judged and burnt to a crisp. And guess what? This is good. The devil could take that donkey, put a lead on him, and lead him to the top of the hill and let him kick around in the ashes of what he used to be. And let him kick around in the ashes of what used to be on him. But that will never be put back on him again. Because it has been destroyed and been paid for. There is therefore now no condemnation. Well, the devil sometimes he'll take and say, look what you used to be and look at this sin. And he'll try his best to glue it all back together and he'll try to put it back on you and load you back down with it. But thank God, on a hill far away stood an old rugged cross. And on that cross, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, my heavenly Isaac, took my sin and paid for it. Thank God. Amen. And now it is nothing more than the ashes of what used to be. The very best, Miss Jan, the devil can do is just try to get you kicking around in the ashes of what you used to be. But he can never reform and put that all back on you again. I've been saved. I am saved. I shall be saved. I'm going to be saved forever. I am saved forever. Thank God my sins are G-O-N-E gone. They are gone. They're not in a bag. They're not behind his back. They're not in the... They are gone. They're gone. The Old Testament, that you find times where sin was in the, was put in the sea. You find the time sin was put in a bag. Then you find sometime where sin was put behind his back. And I like a New Testament concept a lot better. It's not in a bag. It's not behind his back. And it's not in the deep of the sea. But I'll tell you where it is. It is not. It is G-O-N-E, gone. I've been justified by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ and my sins are gone. I've been justified just if I'd never sinned. Hallelujah. No condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus who walk not after the flesh but after the Spirit. Well, I'm glad I'm saved tonight. I'm glad I'm saved. I'm glad for the first part of that verse, but I'm also glad for the second part of that verse. I'm thankful. Thankful for what God did for me that I couldn't do. But I'm also thankful for what I can do for God that He can't do. When you get saved, He does not make a robot out of you. When you get saved, He does not take away that will. No. But He sure puts the want to in there to live for God. Amen. What will take our church to a new level, to another level, to higher ground? is for God's people individually in our church, from the pulpit through the pews, to do what verse 1 says. Simply have the knots attached to the no. No condemnation, that's what God does for you. Walk not after the flesh, that's what you do for God. Amen. And He's worthy. The last part of that verse is worthy, or the first part of the verse is worthy of the second part of the verse. If He done the work, He deserves my walk. He paid the price, then I could run the race. Why get saved if you don't want to change? Why get saved if you want to continue to walk after the flesh and continue to walk after the flesh and continue to walk after the Spirit or not after the Spirit, not allow the Spirit any influence, any control in your life? Why do that? Why do that? When I got saved, God started then detaching me from what I used to be. And it's just like Brother Ivan said, when you start getting away from God, guess what becomes interesting to you again? That walking after the flesh. Because if you're not right with God, that means you're not living after the Spirit. That means the Spirit of God, that divine nature, is not in control of your life. And when you're not walking after the Spirit, then you're becoming alive to that flesh. And that flesh will take you further than you ever want to go. Keep you longer than you ever wanted to stay and cost you more than you ever wanted to pay. If the young ladies of our church and the young boys of our church could get a hold of what's been preached just tonight, it would save them a lot of troubles. A lot of heartache. Preacher, you don't want us to do nothing. You don't think we can do nothing. Oh, there's a whole lot more do's. There's a whole lot more do's than don'ts. There's a whole lot more cans than can'ts. The problem is this. The flesh does not want to walk that path of the Spirit, because the Spirit will never minister to the flesh. The Spirit will never feed the flesh. And the Spirit of God will never, in you as a believer, will never want to walk the fleshly walk, because the flesh will never feed the Spirit. Get full of the Holy Ghost and see if you're not satisfied. Get filled with the Holy Spirit and walk after the Spirit and let Him lead and feed and guide and direct your life and see if He doesn't satisfy you. See, as He begins to conform you to the image of Christ and begin to mold you into the likeness of the Son of God, and see if that doesn't produce contentment and joy in your heart. But as long as you're interested in popularity more so than you are purity, you'll never know any of this. Those that are saved, the first part of the verse is made evident in the second part of the verse. And don't forget it. I've said it and I'm done. It's one sentence. One sentence. One complete thought. No condemnation. And walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit, is in the same sentence. Same thought. Let's all stand. Thank you. Heavenly Father, we pray tonight that You will take and, Lord, use the message for Your honor and, Lord, for Your glory. Dear Lord, I pray You'll work in us both to will and to do of Your own good pleasure. Thank You for saving us. Thank You, Lord, for using Romans chapter 8 and verse 1 to minister to our heart, encourage us, and give us some instruction. Lord, we didn't intend initially to spend this 3 services or ever how many services it's been, Lord, on this subject. But Lord, You've made it real to us, and Lord, You've made it rich to us. And Lord, I want to thank You, dear God, tonight for all that You are and all that You've done and all that You're going to do. Lord, I know what it means to be in Christ, and I know what it means for Christ to be in me. It changes my actions and my life. Father, I pray you take the message, Lord, please. Lord, there's people in the church, not just our young people, but people of all ages. Lord, have some of that flesh in their life. In fact, all of us do. But we need to deal with it. Because if we don't deal with the flesh will deal with us. If we choose to walk after the flesh, it will limit and hinder the Spirit. But if we'll choose to walk after the Spirit, it will limit and hinder the flesh. Lord, I'm glad that you've taken care of our sin. Lord, you've taken care of our sin. But Lord, help us to take care of our sins. You dealt with the sin, we are to deal with the sins. Have your way, Lord. Speak to us, Lord. Save sinners. Lord, if someone's here tonight lost, they're under condemnation. And there's nothing they can do in the flesh, nothing they can do in the flesh that will get rid of and deal with that condemnation. The only answer is to be in Christ. That's the only place, that's the only zone of no condemnation is in Christ. And it takes the Holy Spirit to baptize a sinner into Christ at that moment of faith and repentance. Father, have your way, Lord, I pray. In Jesus' name.
God bless you. Thank you for visiting Rogersville Baptist Temple's website and for listening to this message preached at Rogersville Baptist Temple.